Here in KC, the Middle of the Map Festival is stepping up as a major player with more than 100 bands descending on 11 Westport stages. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we'll discuss how the local festival is drawing exponentially more bands, more people, and more attention in only its second year of existence. Plus, it's adding a new forum component this year with panels discussing culture and technology. All in one weekend, all in our area, all without having to wake up in a puddle of you-know-what on 6th Street in Austin. Stay tuned for the second half of our program for advice on wrapping up your 2011 taxes with our Master Tax Advisor. We'll find out how to file for an extension if you want to put this whole tax thing off for a few more months. That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. On any given weekend, you can hear music blaring out of several bars and venues in Westport, within a few paces of one another, a plethora of sound, seemingly keeping pace with the sidewalk and street traffic. This weekend, the only difference is, well, the difference is more than 100 bands will be playing the music. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today we preview the second annual Middle of the Map Fest, and joining us are Ink Magazine's Chris Harrigan and Nathan Roosh of Record Machine. They're both organizers of Ink Magazine's Middle of the Map Festival. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, tell us about how and why this festival got started. It's in its second year. Put us up on that.
Go ahead.
Nathan?
Well, 2 years ago, almost to the date, we had our first meeting about doing this. I had just come back from my second time at South by Southwest, and just the energy that was down there, I knew Kansas City was lacking, and basically came back and met with Inc. and said, let's start this music festival. And they were really excited about the idea and gave us the opportunity to basically curate and do the festival for the Record Machine and partner with us on it. So it basically started almost 2 years to the date.
Not lacking in bands, but lacking in energy,
right?
Chris.
Yeah,
right.
Not lacking in the talent, of course, but a way to put all that together and then showcase it to everyone, and then get people out to those shows. And together on our first year, and then hopefully starting tomorrow, we'll do that again.
So I'm getting a sense that it wasn't just as easy as meeting with Ink Magazine, and then magically the bands and venues were like, "Poof, let's do it." What goes into planning such a large event?
Pretty much, it takes almost an entire year worth of planning to make each event happen. I mean, we started literally, you know, right from that moment, you know, between just getting all the venues on board, getting sponsors, getting all the bands. You know, it's just a process that basically you're always doing something. You know, it's not something that's like, oh, I just wrap this up and we're good for the weekend. You know, like, I'm sending emails and texts and whatever until pretty much it starts tomorrow morning, first thing.
Tell us about that process. What do you even do first? What's first?
Well, I mean, first for us was definitely getting somebody on board like Inc. And then, you know, like, basically when we sat down to start really thinking about this year, we got about 15 people in a room. And we made a list of about 350 bands that we were interested in, being like national and international and emerging bands. And we basically said, this is what we want to start talking about. I think we booked like six of those in the end. And then, you know, the other, you know, 109 bands that we have playing this festival, it's just accumulation of people we know and things that were routed. And
then things changed too. I mean, somebody who may have been on the way up that we hadn't heard of yet when we first met back in whenever that was, October or
August
June,
or something.
Maybe they've shot up since then. A band like Friends, for example, who's going to be at BOMA on Saturday night, they just got back from South by Southwest and they filled every room they played in. And it's another thing like that once they came – once their name was presented to us, we're really excited to have them. So some things that when we first met, we didn't know about that would be kind of happening right now.
You had 50 bands last year.
Yeah.
Now you are looking at 114.
Right.
It doubled. What happened? What did you do differently?
We doubled our venues. We went from the 4 venues and 6 stages to 8 venues and 10 stages. And by doing that, we were able to add a couple things. We partnered with a couple other record labels. Golden Sound Records, which is another Kansas City record label, is going to have their own showcase. And Indie Ground, which is a hip-hop label, is going to have their own showcase as well. So,
yeah, we really wanted to reach out to the rest of the community and invite a lot of people that were doing things that we thought were important in Kansas City. And, you know, unfortunately, we had over, you know, 100 bands that we had that applied to play the festival that, you know, unfortunately didn't make it.
So 100 didn't make it.
Didn't make it. Right. Yeah, we had 100 that applied via our Sonic bids that unfortunately, you know. So, I mean, the response that we have to this has just been overwhelming.
How did you end up picking them? If there are 100 bands playing and 100 bands that didn't make it, what was the vetting process like? What did that entail?
Well, we had a list of people that we were definitely interested in already. And then we also had – there's a website called sonicbids.com. And we partnered with them to basically allow bands to submit via their website to play. And so we would check out the bands. And, you know, unfortunately, there was quite a few that we had to pass on. But
is there any intangible that makes you pass on a band, or do you know what you're looking for? What are you looking for?
I mean, I've been releasing records for 9 years, and, you know, I kind of know what I'm looking for and what I want. You know, and it's always unfortunate because there's a lot of good music out there that, you know, you just can't have everybody. So that's always a complicated thing.
So who are some of the bands now that people are excited to see?
Well, as we mentioned, definitely Fun. Fun is the main headliner. They're on the cover of Inc. magazine today, and they're playing Saturday night at Beaumont, and it's going to be crazy in that room. Mission of Burma is reunited again, and they're playing one of their first shows in a long, long time at Record Bar on Friday night. And then on Saturday night, Spin Magazine's number one album of the year, Effed Up, is playing at Riot Room, and that'll surely be to capacity as well.
Well, how about the band Capybara?
That's Nathan's band.
Yeah, they're a band that I released a record of just about 2 months ago. And I've been working with them for a few years, so they were a band that, you know, we definitely have seen rising, and their new album has done really well.
Tell us about the song we're about to hear, Neighbor Crimes.
Well, it's off their latest album, Dave Drewski, and they're playing Saturday night at the Beaumont Club at 7:45 p.m.
Well, let's hear it, Neighbor Crimes by Capybara. That was Neighbor Crimes by Capybara, one of the bands that will be featured at this weekend's Middle of the Map Fest in Westport. Our guests are Chris Harrigan and Nathan Roosh, organizers of Inc. Magazine's Middle of the Map Festival that we're previewing today here on Central Standard, that you're listening to on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Kansas City, what bands are you looking forward to seeing this weekend at the Middle of the Map Festival? What are the ingredients, do you think, to a good music festival? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Now, Westport. Why did you choose Westport for the event last year, and you're doing it again this year? What's special about Westport?
Well, I think we've both been to South By a handful of times now, and that part of town has a similar vibe to what you get down at South by Southwest, where there's so many venues, and proper venues, venues with stages in them. And that's what attracted us to it, as well as a lot of those owners are our friends. And some of them are musicians as well. The guys own the Record Bar, for example. They're both in several bands. and they're even playing the festival. And that was the main attraction to that area.
As well as the walkability and
definitely the walkability.
Just the current infrastructure, too.
And we're also going to have a trolley running on this weekend that's going to take loops from Record Bar towards Dark Horse Tavern back and forth so people can get over to Record Bar and to the other side of Westport really easily.
Is it easier to work with the venues when you know the venue owners?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are some of the unforeseen complications that come up in planning festivals like this, even when you know the venue's owners?
I think it just comes down to, having a lot of people that are involved in this, because if they're not familiar with it, unfortunately, there's a lot of questions that you're just, things that you think are understood or implied, and maybe they're not, already if they've never been to something like this.
Such as what?
Just the whole, we do everything as wristbands and allow people to enter whatever club that they want to, instead of just going to one place and hunkering down. We kind of embrace the idea that you might want to go see many bands over the course of a night. So, we make it easy for people to go wherever they want. And I think that's something that's different from a lot of places that don't already charge a cover or need to now charge a cover for the weekend. There's unforeseen things like that that you're just always kind of explaining and getting everyone on board with.
We're previewing the Middle of the Map Fest that will take place in Westport this weekend here on Central Standard. 114 bands on several stages in Westport. We won't be able to feature all 114 bands. That would be a record.
It'd
if
be awesome.
We featured that. But
we got time, right?
But we do. We're going to get into another selection from Mates of State. Tell us about Mates of State.
Mates of State will be one of the headliners at the Beaumont Club on Friday night, and they actually formed in Lawrence, Kansas in 1997 and have since moved around the country and now live in Connecticut, and started off as a duo with an organ and a drum kit, and then have since become a little bit bigger of a band. And they have a lot of friends in this market and have done really well. They sold out a show at the Record Bar maybe in October, and we're really excited to have them on the bill. And it's happy pop music.
Yeah, I was actually originally in 97, they were around for the summer there before they moved out to San Francisco. And I saw them, they said they played six shows in their bio. And I think I saw probably four or five of them, and one of my favorite bands at the time, So like, they've just been one of those things where it's great to bring somebody back to the area like that.
Well, let's hear a song from Mates of State, the group that started with a drum kit and an organ. The song is called Get Better.
Come on board, it's a curious sight. Ooh, absorbing sound that's never been right. Ooh, never ahead of, never behind it. Occasionally guarded, just keeps us surrounded.
That's Get Better by Mates of State from the 2008 album Rearrange Us. They will be one of the many bands featured at this weekend's Middle of the Map Fest in Westport. I'm with Chris Harrigan and Nathan Roosh, organizers of the Ink Magazine Middle of the Map Festival that will take place in Westport. Should people be lining up early? What do you suggest to people attending these events?
Definitely need to get there early. Every venue has a certain capacity limit, and we cannot exceed that. So, your festival pass gets you access to the festival, and we'll get you in somewhere. But we are bound by the limits of the entire capacity of all the rooms.
And fire marshals.
Fire marshals.
Yeah.
You've added new dimensions to the festival this year, other than music, other than musical performances. Tell us about them.
Well, we basically decided to start what we are calling an art, tech, and culture forum, where we invited people that were basically thought leaders in Kansas City, and invited them to come share with us their ideas and kind of motivate the community to be a little bit better connected and to share ideas and basically just cultivate something new and unforeseen. So we basically, got a lot of people together to basically f- find out what that is and cultivate those ideas.
You both are veterans of South By. Do you feel like adding this new dimension of workshops and art and culture and technology discussions will add to the cultural cachet that South By Southwest had in its early days?
I think so, for sure. And I mean, it's the word is spreading on behalf of the forum to make the fest even better as well. Last night, it popped up that the Wall Street Journal's Market Watch wrote an article about the forum, and it plugged the music festival as well. The Boston Globe wrote an article about the forum and the music fest together as well. So it just having added that and some of the heavy-hitting names with the forum, it's given us a lot of extra reach out of it to promote the local scene here.
Who's coming to the forum to talk, and what day will it take place?
Thursday and Friday, basically tomorrow and Friday, we'll have Bob Birkenbile from BNIM, Julian
– I can't say his last name.
We can never pronounce it.
From the Nelson.
Zuka Segoria.
Yes. There it is. There we go. He's the curator at the Nelson.
Both mayors will be there?
Yeah, both of the mayors will be speaking on panels. Peter Witte is also one of our keynote speakers.
It's structured that there's 5 keynote speakers and then several breakout panels that talk about all sorts of different things involving the art, tech, and culture theme of the event. And there's actually also a film element, too, that will be taking place at Screenland. And this is on Thursday and Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then the music fest starts about 6 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and then it starts at noon on Saturday.
Beyond South by Southwest, are there any cues you've taken from other festivals on how this one works logistically and culturally?
Well, one of the things we wanted to make sure was that we weren't just, you know, carbon copying, you know, something else. You know, we felt like South by Southwest has its place. You know, a lot of other places have their places. We wanted to make sure that we created something that we felt like was Kansas City and kind of our love letter to the city. And make sure it included the things that we wanted to, you know. And we know that these other festivals exist, so it was more important to carve out, you know, an area that we felt like was missing. You know, finding our own niche was important.
The best part about the South By thing for Kansas City that I like is by having it in venues that are open all the time is people can build behaviors and they go there and they realize how amazing a show at the Record Bar, the Riot Room, is. And then it comes on the radar, and then maybe they go out more often and see shows in that room. A little different than like a Coachella, where you go out and stand in the middle of a grass field in the desert, where we're trying to get people to come to venues and, you know, help them get customers too beyond the festival.
Everywhere is open 365 days a year.
Right.
So we're just trying to basically promote what's already here and, you know, hopefully see it grow.
Here's another band that's going to be featured, one of 114 to be exact.
Yes.
As Chris points out, Murder by Death. Tell us about Murder by Death.
They're from Bloomington, Indiana, and they've come through Kansas City. It's been a little while since they came through last time, but it's a good band. It's a kind of an Americana gothic folk band. Lots of songs about, road songs and whiskey, and got a little gravel in his voice, and playing at Beaumont Club on Friday night. With Mates of State, the band we played earlier.
Well, let's play Foxglove by Murder by Death from the 2010 album Good Morning Magpie. Let's check it out.
The fire was all that was left. All that's left of you. It was always you. It was always you. It was always you. Always you. I cut through the brush.
That's Foxglove by Murder by Death from their 2010 album Good Morning Magpie. Murder by Death will be one of the bands that will be featured at this weekend's Middle of the Map Fest in Westport. We have our guest here, Chris Hagarian.
That's it.
And Nathan Roosh, organizers of the Middle of the Map Fest event. Do you guys continue to work at the festival? Do you actually get to enjoy it, or will you be running around?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, we'll get to see bands as we're running from one side of the room to the other or to the next venue. So
there's a couple bands that I'm going to do everything I possibly can to see. And one of those is the song we'll play out at the end here by Hooray for Earth Thursday night at the Riot Room. But, you know, we'll do whatever we can, I think, to try and see a few of these bands. But at the same time, we'll be running around like crazy.
And why will you be running around like crazy? What will you be doing?
Well, we just, you know, every single band and, you know, all the sponsors, everyone that we've basically helped put this together with and for, you know, are basically, you know, there's all sorts of logistical things that need to happen that basically keep things running and moving. So we're just constantly always doing something. Luckily for me, my adrenaline kick kind of kicked in last night. So I'm feeling it this morning.
Is there anything you're using to measure this year's event to give you a semblance of what you'll do for next year or how you'll plan out next year? Any sort of performance metrics or attendance metrics or band performance metrics, like decibels at a venue or number of beers consumed without falling down or something like that? Anything you're looking at?
I mean, I think we go into it just trying to build up something that we know people are going to want to go to. That, you know, as much as we know that there's going to be a lot of unforeseen this weekend, we also kind of sculpted out areas for people to basically, you know, be a part of. One of the things that I think we saw last year was we basically built an app this year for the iPhone. That we wanted people to connect with during the festival. You can download it from the iTunes store. It's called MOTM 2012, and it's a free app. But we knew that, you know, basically there's a need for a lot of updates and things like that throughout the festival. So we basically built an app for that.
And there's an app for that.
Yeah. Anything?
Well, I think, you know, the gauge of last year, which made us wanted to make the festival so much bigger this year by doubling everything, was, you know, at one point Riot Room was full, Record Bar was full, Union was full, and there was 1,200 people in the Beaumont Club. So what do? You want to make the place, you want to make the scope of it bigger. So we added the extra venues this year.
The Middle of the Map Fest kicks off Thursday night, April 5th, and runs through April 7th in Westport. Let's go out on a song. Tell us about Hooray for Earth.
Hooray for Earth is a band from New York. It's got a bit of electronica to it, and also pretty good songwriting, which is hard to do sometimes, but with real instruments as opposed to just computers and such.
Kind of has an organic feel to it.
Yeah, and really excited to have them. They've never played Kansas City before, and I know a lot of artists in this town are really excited to have them at Riot Room. And I know we're about to play them out, but if we could plug the website middleofthemapfest.com, where you can go online, and until 5 p.m. today you can buy a 3-day pass for $35.
We have a handful of those left.
And then after that, tomorrow at Record Bar, tomorrow Thursday, we'll be at Record Bar selling tickets on in front of the building there. And then on Saturday we'll be in front of the Beaumont Club selling tickets. So, and there's more information on this in Inc. magazine this week and in tomorrow's preview section of the Kansas City Star.
You can also replay what we just talked about.
Oh, great.
And the music we just heard on KCUR.org later today.
We'll post a link on our sites.
Thank you.
Our guests are Chris Hagarian and Nathan Rouche, organizers of Inc. Magazine's Middle of the Map Festival, featuring 114 bands, up from 50 last year. You can check that out. Thursday night, beginning Thursday, April 5th, running through April 7th. Gentlemen, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much for helping us out.
This is True Loves by Hooray for Earth that we're going out on. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, it's time to talk about tax preparation for the coming filing deadline. Kansas City, how are you preparing for the coming tax season? And what questions do you have regarding filing an extension and what you can still write off? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org to talk about taxes. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani Lafall. Journalist Nirvi Shah once wrote about a survey that revealed Americans find that filing their taxes is slightly more bearable than going to a funeral. And she said this could explain why thousands may put off doing their returns until the last minute. Doubtless you might be one of those people that put off their returns until the last minute. But we do have some advice for you today. Kansas City, how are you preparing for the coming tax season? What questions do you have regarding filing an extension and what you can still write off? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. And for that advice is Elaine Smith, an enrolled agent and master tax advisor with H&R Block. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You haven't filed your taxes yet, have you?
No, I have not. I have been procrastinating a little bit. I got started early in February, like I think a lot of people do. I ran into a snag, and then I just procrastinated.
Tell us about you talking to your financial advisor earlier this week and
yes,
what they said. Were they shocked?
They were a little stressed out because I asked them to do a lot of work for me in about the next week so that I could finish my tax return. They weren't sure they were going to be able to do it, but I have faith in them, and I will probably be one of those people on April 17th pushing the e-file button on my own return.
Aside from the jokes about death and taxes, what's the most common reason you find for people putting off their returns until the last minute? You obviously have an excuse. You help other people prepare their taxes, but
I would like to use that as an excuse. You know, people that tend to file an extension for the first time will file an extension because they owe for the first time. They're not really sure how to pay. They're not sure they can pay. So they think that filing an extension will give them time to do that. And that's kind of a misnomer. So filing an extension is just an extension to file your tax return. It's not to pay. So if you owe, you still have to pay by April 17th this year.
816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're talking taxes as tax deadline comes forth.
It does. So April 17th this year. So if you are a procrastinator, good news for you. You got a couple extra days to get it done.
Now, you got a couple extra days to get it done. It's on April 17th rather than the normal April 15th. Are there any filing parameters that are different this year?
Not a lot has changed this year as far as taxes go, so that's really great. You can take time this year, make sure you've got all of your stuff put together. You don't have to worry about a lot of credits that have gone away or expired. You get a couple extra days to do your return. We've got a lot of tax credits that are going to expire or have expired, so keep watch out at the news in late fall and after the election time, because I bet a lot of things will get extended or new tax laws will get passed.
What do you tell people who run into snags this late in the game in tax season?
You know, if you can get your snag taken care of, maybe in my situation, I've over-contributed to my Roth IRA. So if you're someone who's over-contributed to an IRA, see if you can get it taken care of. Most of the time, those brokerage firms are definitely equipped to handle your last-minute requests. If you're not able to get it done, file an extension might be the best thing for you. And actually, this morning, I was kind of thinking to myself, if I can't get it done, maybe I go ahead and file an extension this year. So filing an extension will give you a couple extra months to get all of your paperwork together, let your financial advisor get his work done, and then you can file your return.
What are some of the other common snags that keep you from filing on time, other than procrastination, the logistical snags of filing taxes? What are some of the most common things?
You know, sometimes people are in a business or a partnership or some type of investment that they're waiting on a K-1 for from that business. And some of those business returns aren't due until April 15th or 17th this year as well. So they're not going to file until April 17th. So you won't even get your paperwork in time to file by the deadline. So in those cases, it's a great reason to file an extension, wait for your partnership return to get completed, and then you can file your return.
It's easier for a business to file an extension than it is for a person, or is it the same sort of deal?
It's really a very simple process for any entity, yourself or your business. You fill out the form. You get an automatic extension of 6 months for people and some businesses and 5 minutes, 5 months for other businesses. And that gives you plenty of time to get all of your paperwork together, make sure you don't miss anything, and get your return filed without any late filing penalties.
We're on right now with Elaine Smith, an enrolled agent and master tax advisor with H&R Block. You have a few days left to file your income tax returns for the 2011 year. 816-235-2888. If you have any questions, 816-235-2888. 88, or you can email us at centralstandard@kcur.org with questions or comments. Billy from South Kansas City, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I went to my file folder when I started assembling all my stuff on the weekend, and I found I do not have the booklet from the federal, which I generally get in the mail sometime in January. I got a booklet from the Missouri state tax forms, but not from the federal. So where do I go to get all my forms?
Yep, tax forms aren't being mailed anymore by the federal government or the IRS. So to get your forms, you can go online, irs.gov. They've got all the instruction booklets, all of the forms, all of the schedules, and even all the publications there so that you can read up and figure out, you know, exactly what needs to go on each line.
So in Billy's situation, she just goes online and downloads it and
print them. They also have fillable PDFs, so you can actually enter it right there on the form and print it out, or you can just print out the form and then handwrite it in.
Is there ever a condition, Elaine, under which a person couldn't file an extension?
You know, usually not. You can anyone that's filing a return can file an extension to give them more time to file their return. Generally, the extension requests are not denied.
Denise in Northland, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. My question is, if you need to ask to make payment arrangements, unfortunately I'm in that category this year, and this is with the state of Missouri, I've got the form, I got it online, but does that request need to go in separately or can it go in with your return?
That's a great question. So people that owe, you can actually make payment arrangements with both the IRS or the state of Missouri. And you can send that right in with your return. You can also send it in separately. You can also call them and say, I'm sending in my return, I'm filing it, but I'm going to want to make a payment arrangement or an installment agreement with you, and they can help you set that up.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Denise. We have Ed in KCK. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, good morning, all. Last year, after the tornado, I went down to Joplin, Missouri to help a charitable organization with their work down there. And I know that my mileage while I was in Joplin is deductible, but I'm curious, is the mileage to and from Joplin, from Kansas City to Joplin and back, is that also deductible as charitable mileage?
You know, what I would say is for your miles to be back and forth between Kansas City and Joplin, if it depends on where your kind of first stop was. So if you drove from your house to you started at the home office of the charity that you were working for and then drove from there to Joplin, I would count those miles. But from your house to Joplin, if it was just direct, I probably would not count those miles. But maybe if you made a stop, met at the home base, met up with some other people and then took off, I would count those miles.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you, Ed. We're talking tax, last-minute tax advice, last-minute clues on what you can write off in the coming season and how you can maybe file an extension, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can write in to us at centralstandard@kcur.org, as Cindy did. She writes, my son is having a very difficult time getting his W-2s from one company he worked for. If she can't get them to send another copy, which they'd be happy to repay for reprint. Or is there another way to get these W-2 forms?
Yeah, sometimes people don't get their W-2s. They've moved, the employer closed, or something happened. You have a couple options. You can use your last pay stub and prepare what's called a substitute W-2. And use that. It's an extra form that would go on your return where you essentially just use all the numbers from your last pay stub and use that to file. You can also contact the IRS and get a transcript of that W-2 because if the employer sent it to you, they also send a copy to the IRS. So you can call the IRS and request a transcript of that W-2 so that you have the same information that the IRS has so that you can prepare your return.
And Elaine Elizabeth asks via centralstandard@kcur.org, can I deduct special foods because of my allergies?
You know, usually not. Food is considered a personal expense, and only some occasions can you count it as a business expense. And even if you get to count it as a business expense, it's only deductible by 50%.
And Peggy in Overland Park wants to know, is it true whether or not the Making Work Pay credit has expired in 2011? She says she had all her taxes prepared, but was surprised to find out the form was not available.
Yes. So the Making Work Pay credit was a $400 credit that we've been getting for the last couple of years just for working. It was $400 if you were single and $800 if you were married. This year, it's not available. So you won't be seeing on that on your tax return.
What about listeners who don't have access to the web? Rare that that may be. Where do you get your forms? We had our caller earlier talking about she was waiting on state and federal forms that are now available online that she can go get. But what if you don't have readily available access to
them? You know, some libraries still carry forms, and some of the base forms, they may not have everything. And also, if you can get to the library, you can use their computer and get online and download the forms that you need.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is Elaine Smith, an enrolled agent and master tax advisor with H&R Block. Kansas City, how are you preparing for the coming tax season deadline? What questions do you have regarding late filing and extensions and what you can still write off? All the questions you have, you can get advice here right now in this 10 o'clock hour. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. What are some of the biggest write-off snafus that stymie people and have them scratching their heads as we come up to deadline?
You know, people forget sometimes even the most obvious deductions. You know, we had somebody talk about volunteer miles. A lot of charitable contributions people don't do a great job of keeping track of, especially mileage. So people might go to volunteer over the weekend. I know someone who every Sunday goes and volunteers at like Pet Haven. Make sure you're keeping track of those miles that you're using, as well as any cash or non-cash contributions that you make to those organizations, because that can really add up on your tax return and give you a big benefit in the end. Another big one that people tend to miss is daycare. So if you are working and your child goes to daycare, there is a credit for that. So you can get up to $1,000 of daycare credit depending on how many children that you have in daycare. So don't forget to put that on your return if you're in that situation.
What advice, Elaine, do you have for people who are hung up because they find themselves filing for multiple years worth of tax returns?
That's a really good question. I just had somebody who I just finished their return that hadn't filed since 2006. So we were able to get them caught up for their personal return as well as their businesses. The hardest thing there is finding all your paperwork. And sometimes even when you find your paperwork, it might be a little wrinkled or some coffee stains might be on it. So my best advice in that situation is to, again, get a transcript from the IRS. They have how much your W-2 was. They have your mortgage interest. You can go online if you're in Clay or Jackson, Platte County or even Johnson County, and get your real estate taxes that you've been paying or your personal property taxes you've been paying. So you can do a little bit of detective work and reconstruct all the records that you need to get your return filed.
What's the first step in doing all that detective work, sort of going back and forensically re-piecing together your financial life, so to speak?
The first step, I would say, is to get a transcript from the IRS and to go back through all of your files at home and see what documents you do have, and then go online. A lot of stuff is online, like your real estate taxes and your personal property taxes. Your student loan interest is probably online. All your bank interest is online. Your investment account statements are online. So going there, trying to get all of those things will just help you get at least a really good start on that prior year tax return.
We got tax advice for you as the April 17th deadline looms. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're here with Elaine Smith, enrolled agent and master tax advisor with H&R Block. Alice in Olathe, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
Thank Good morning.
You for taking my call. What my question is I have been out on long-term disability because I'm going through an illness right now. And I received income from a third-party plan. Now, going and trying to do my taxes, it's showing that I owe money, and I don't quite know what to do because I was told that was not taxable, and I don't have an income coming in to pay this. What is your suggestion?
So sometimes when you get long-term disability pay, for some people it's taxable and for some people it's not. It depends on what kind of plan you have and who is paying for the plan at the time. It sounds like in your instance, you're in a situation where it is taxable income to you. The best advice I have for you is to not not to delay, file your return, call the IRS and ask to make some sort of payment arrangement with them. Let them know what kind of income you are getting each month, maybe from your disability, and work with that budget to figure out an amount that's going to be workable for you.
Thank you, Alice, for your questions and comments. We have another comment from Ann in Westport via centralstandard@kcur.org. She wants to know, is it true that low-income filers are rarely audited? An interesting question.
It is an interesting question. You know, one in about 99 returns gets audited. So and really it's across the board. High-income people might get audited for different reasons than lower-income people. There are certain credits and deductions that are more subject to maybe fraud or people claiming them that aren't otherwise entitled. And so those returns sometimes get looked at more often than other returns that don't have those types of credits.
As a tax advisor, what do you know about the typical exceptions or material instances that the IRS looks for in terms of initiating an audit?
You know, they look for inconsistencies. If you have very, very low income, but you're getting a very, very large refund, that might be something that seems inconsistent. If you have low income and lots of people that live in your house, it might seem inconsistent about how you're caring for those people and maintaining the household. Similar thing, you have, you know, moderate income, but a lot of deductions. You know, it might seem inconsistent that you have, you know, $25,000 in mortgage interest if you only made $30,000 for the year. So they look at some things that are inconsistent like that. And they're all possible, right? People lose their job. They go through a rough time. And so just having that documentation would make that audit kind of go away.
We have Vicki in Weatherby Lake. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question is about medical deductions. And since we are both retired now, are we allowed to deduct the full cost of our medical insurance? And in my case, I'm on Medicare. Can I deduct that as part of my medical cost?
Yes, your Medicare Part A, B, and D premiums are all deductible as medical expenses on your tax return. And those items are generally reported if you're receiving Social Security, if you're old enough. They're reported on that statement. But if you're paying them otherwise, you can just put those directly on your Schedule A. Also, another kind of commonly missed medical expense is long-term care insurance. So if you're paying long-term care insurance, it's insurance when you go into the nursing home, those premiums are a medical expense deduction on your federal tax return. And then Missouri even lets you get a special deduction for that as well. So don't forget to put that on your return.
Thank you, Vicki, for your questions and comments. And we're wanting to get more of your questions or comments. Kansas City, how are you preparing for the coming tax deadline? What questions do you have regarding possibly filing an extension or what you can still write off? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email with your questions or comments at centralstandard@kcur.org. That's centralstandard@kcur.org. Is there anything, Elaine, that might make those who are actually well prepared for this year's tax season go back and make changes at this late stage in the game?
You know, if you're someone who decided you had a little bit of extra money, maybe you've already received your refund, you can still go back and make a traditional IRA contribution. And if you're eligible to deduct that, that might be a reason for you to go back and amend your tax return. So you can put up to $5,000 into a traditional IRA through April 17th for 2011. You can put up to $6,000 if you're over 50. So that might be a reason to go back. If you've got a little bit of money squirreled away, put it into your IRA and then amend your return because you can get a deduction for that.
How common are refilings?
Amended returns are actually very common. I feel like I do more and more every year. Things just get missed. Things get overlooked. Sometimes like personal property tax or real estate taxes, you don't remember that you paid it, which for me seems kind of hard. But so you forgot to put it on your return. You forgot to deduct your daycare expenses. So then you go back and put those on your return and get a little bit of money back.
Randall from Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, good. I have a situation here where I'd already finished my taxes, yet did not put the income for myself. I had only my wife's income, and I contract out for some work, and I forgot the 1099 from one of my contractors, or one of the guys contracting me, and question is, do I need to amend my 2011 taxes, or do I wait until next year?
You should probably go ahead and amend your 2011 now. The sooner the better, to avoid kind of any additional interest or penalties that might accrue. You can amend your return, go put that income back on, add any other expenses that you might have forgotten as well. It's a good time to do that. And then pay any balance due you might have.
Okay. I did this on TurboTax. I'm assuming that I could go back in there and it's already paid for the service.
Yep, I'm not sure. Yep, I don't know what all kind of options that they have on their software, but definitely should look to see if they have it. Otherwise, you can download the form off of irs.gov and fill it out yourself.
Oh, good. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Randall. Now, we got a message in from Melissa Carl, the weekend circulation supervisor for the Kansas City Public Library, who writes, the Kansas City Public Library does not have tax forms for the taking and has not for several years. She did say, however, that the Downtown Central Library does have the reproducible form books where customers can make a photocopy of a form for 10 cents a page. Also, all of the branches provide internet access where customers can access IRS.gov and the Missouri and Kansas Departments of Revenue sites to get forms or to file and to find publications on tax preparation and filing. These two can be printed out for 10 cents a page. Thank you to Melissa Carl for that. We're talking taxes on Central Standard with Elaine Smith, enrolled agent and master tax advisor at H&R Block. Kathy in Lawrence.
Yes, I have a son who has not filed in several years, thinking that his income is too low. I have a couple of questions. One, he works for it is a rather large fast food chain, huge fast food chain, and he doesn't have his back W-2s. I'm wondering how hard it would be to get them. I'm wondering if it would make sense for him to file an extension, and I'm wondering if he should expect penalties for not filing in the past.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, good question. To go back and get those other W-2s, you can try to first contact the employer. They probably have them. You can try the IRS to get a transcript or see if you can dig up his last pay stubs for each of those years. Sometimes when people even are not required to file because they didn't earn enough income, they still may be entitled to a refund simply of the withholding taxes they had come out of their paycheck. And then also for 2009 and 2010, we had that Making Work pay credit. So even if you worked a little, you may still be eligible for that up to $400 credit, even if you otherwise wouldn't have been required to file.
Kathy brings up an interesting point. Do you ever make too little to claim? Is there a threshold?
You can make not enough to be required to file. So as a single person, you need to make more than about $8,000 or $9,000. It depends on the standard deduction and the exemption amount for the year to be required to file if you worked for an employer and had withholding taxes come out of your paycheck. Otherwise, you're not required to file, but sometimes you do just because you can get back the money that they took out of your paycheck.
Mel and Lenexa, welcome to Central Standard.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. My question is, I'm the only one working in the household, and my wife, she's a student, and I have five kids. How much do I entitle to claim?
How many kids should he claim is the question.
You know, all of your children, if they lived with you and you support them, you should claim them all as dependents if they're your children. There's not really a limit to the number of children that are yours and that live with you and that you support. So putting them all in your tax return would just benefit you.
EJ and KCK, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. I am a first-time home purchaser for the year 2010, and I did not file my claim yet, my return for 2010. So my first question is it too late for me to qualify for that cash incentive?
So the first-time home buyer credit was an $8,000 credit for first-time home buyers. There were specific time frames and specific income ranges and specific cost of the house ranges. So if you met all of the qualifications to be able to claim that $8,000 credit, you can go back and amend your prior year return and put that on and claim the credit. And it's not too late. You have 3 years to go back and amend prior year returns, so you've got the time.
Thank you very much, AJ. For that question, EJ, rather, for that question. Is there any legislation, Elaine, that you're watching that will change the way we file taxes next year or in the future?
There is lots of legislative changes going on. So a lot of credits and deductions have expired. Things like the educator expense deduction, which is a $250 deduction for teachers, sales tax deduction, which is an option for people. So we're keeping track of all of those things to see what comes up here probably in the fall.
Our guest is Elaine Smith, an enrolled agent and master tax advisor with H&R Block. Elaine, thank you for coming on Central Standard today.
Thank you.
And tune in tomorrow for a lesson in stealing, that is, stealing like an artist. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. We have help from Charlie Upchurch. UpToDate is next with a look at the quiet power of introverts. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.